Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody feeling now that summer is over? First of all, let me just say this. I had the greatest summer ever. My grandchildren were here as usual, but we did so much. I mean, when they left, I was worn out. So, like I said, but now summer is over. Labor Day is gone. No more parades for right now. And you can't wear white. That's a big one. You can't wear white after Labor Day. For ladies, that means putting away all the white items from summer. Because I know I have white flip-flops, white, you end up with a white bathing suit, a cover-up, or white jeans. Like I said, for ladies, that means putting away all white items from the summer. And if you do wear white after Labor Day, it must be a winter white or a cream color. And for ladies, this means going through one's entire wardrobe, regrouping, and reorganizing your clothes for work, church, meetings, business, and all other events. And please, please don't put on a pair of white shoes, no white patent leather or anything, because I did that one time and went to work, and this coworker of mine said, "Laura, white shoes after Labor Day," and she was right. I knew better at the time. So I never forgot about that. But designers today say it's okay to wear white year-round. And, I mean, they keep pushing it on TV. But in some circles, it will be frowned upon. And I know that. If a person wears white after Labor Day, it will appear that they have no class. Now, I know one city, Newport, Rhode Island, man, everybody wears white. You can't even go to Newport, Rhode Island with black on. I'm sure that tradition has eased recently, especially the way tennis players have changed. They used to wear only white as well, but now they wear multicolors, black, and everything. The person who brought that into being was Serena Williams. Now, as a matter of fact, the U.S. Open just ended. It'll end today. The male's final championship is today, the U.S. Tennis Championship for 2016. The players today will be Novak Djokovic and Wawrinka. I don't think I'm going to watch that game, but I did check out the ladies yesterday, and I did pick the winner, Kerber. I figured she was going to win, and she did. So at any rate, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Laura Gall. My monthly show is called Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. But before I start, let's give a moment of reflection on this historic 15th anniversary of the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York City. That event is commonly known as 9/11. So many lives were lost. So many families were affected and or destroyed. And what we're saying is take a moment to say we remember. So to say we remember because today is Sunday, September 11th. The year is 2016. 9/11 took place on September 11th, 2001. And it's hard to believe that 15 years have actually gone by. I mean, time flies. So I'm going to take a moment. Say a prayer. Yes, in all the churches everywhere today, they're actually saying special prayers for all the people and families and children who were affected by that cruel situation, 9/11. So hello again. It's September. Summer is gone. And school across the USA has begun. Most parents are saying, yippee! And to be truthful about it, children are excited too. They're excited to go back to school for a variety of reasons. Normally you would say, oh, kids will drag back, but I don't think so. They always look pretty happy to go back to school, especially for the first day of school. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Some kids look forward to going back for a variety of reasons. They look forward to going to a new school. Some look forward to going back to school because they play sports, like my grandson, he plays football. And some kids are just happy to get out of the house, especially if they really didn't go to too many places over the summer. They want to get out of the house and go back to seeing their old friends that they missed over the summer. Because, you know, all the kids don't always live in the same neighborhood like they did when I was growing up. So anyway, prior to the first day of school for elementary, middle, and high schoolers, school supplies must be purchased. Ta-da. That includes supplies as needed, described by the school, and it also includes new school clothes for kids who have grown in size over the summer. It includes new school shoes, sneakers, jackets, leggings, and sometimes boots, you know. And a lot of this stuff will be on sale. Luckily, you know, some of it goes on sale around the end of August, the 1st of September. The children need pencils, notebooks, calculators, tablets, that as in electronic tablets, paper, pens, and book bags, just to name a few items. Some kids will go back to school with new phones and everything, too, but, hey, if they do, they need it. I'll tell you that. In my opinion, the kids need it. So that's my topic today. My topic today is that the cost of back to school, you know, because those items that I just mentioned, they are costing a small ransom nowadays. If you ask me, parents better start saving up for back to school. Used to be you could just take your paycheck that week and supply your family with back to school stuff, but nowadays you got to save up, use coupons and everything. Because even the discount store school supplies purchases really add up for families with several children. I saw a guy recently in the dollar store, and I guess I'm sure he was a father, and he was looking around and picking out school supplies, pencils, notebooks, and everything. So like I said, my topic today is the high cost of school supplies. School supplies cost so much that even the teachers are complaining. They are now talking, sharing school supplies in the classroom, which translates into do not personalize your child's school supplies because they will all be put in a pool to be shared. So school supplies are becoming common property with the exception of the big notebook and whatever paper your child has in that notebook. But all these other things that they require, they want them to be pulled together and shared. I guess that makes sense, too. If the teacher has enough, I mean, if the teacher has 30 students, the teacher can add 10 more calculators, and every time they need a calculator, kids just come and pick one out of the box. I guess something like that. So, like I said, they're asking parents to not personalize the kids' school supplies because they will be put in a pool to be shared. Now, that sounds practical. But it can also sound a little unfair to the parent who works hard to provide school supplies versus the parents who do not or cannot afford to. So, oh well, we'll see how that works out. Children do learn a share, and that's a good thing. As long as the kids, some kids don't play that, and I can't say I blame them. You know, if a child says that he or she doesn't want to share their school supplies, I don't blame them, because I know my grandchildren pick out the exact types of things that they like, the exact kind of pens, pencils, erasers, everything. They, when they go out to buy their school supplies, they're buying things that are personal to them. So it's not, and it sounds a little unfair to make them just throw all their stuff in a box so that they can share with everybody in the class. So getting back to the cost, for many years I bought school supplies for my grandchildren. I have three grandchildren. And the local Walmart would put the school supplies on sale in July. And I would take each child individually and let them pick out what they wanted and multiples of what they wanted. And this is before I knew how to go online and see what the school was actually requesting for their grade level or for their particular class. But as a grandmother, I noticed 3 years ago that I was spending a few hundred dollars on believe it or not, on each child, especially when book bags were included at the time of purchase, or if I picked out a few other school needs, such as socks or a couple of shirts or something like that, it was going way over $100. So, in the year of 2015, I said, "Wow, I got to do something about this." So now this year, my three grands, this year is 2016, my three grands are now entering 5th, 7th, and 9th grade. I stopped buying school supplies in 2015, so I guess the last time I bought the school supplies was actually 2014. So last year in 2015, the children entered 4th, 6th, and 8th grades. In the summer of 2015, I decided to find free, F-R-E-E, yes, free school supplies for my grands. And I don't even know how I came up with that, to tell you the truth. But I see on TV and in media that there are always school supplies collections announced in the media or at different stores for giveaway to organizations that will distribute the supplies to the children. And to tell you the truth, I had always felt that giveaway was for children who were in need. But after school supplies started costing so much, I started seeing myself as being in need. So I set out to find out how my grands could enjoy receiving some free school supplies. And that was in the summer of 2015. And I'll tell you, we got lucky. Two organizations were hosting events to give out school supplies in 2015. One organization in particular was the Urban League, and they made a big day out of it. They gave out the supplies over in Norfolk at an elementary school. I can't really remember which one now, but they had all sorts of entertainment. I think they may have had food like hot dogs or something for the kids and sodas and games for the kids to play. And then the kids got online and they received book bags that already contained supplies. And to tell you the truth, oh, my goodness, I was so thankful. And the same thing happened at another organization or community room. I think it may have been in Chesapeake. And they had another big day. They had all sorts of entertainment, ices. I'm not sure if they had hot dogs, but I think maybe they did. I know they had ICs and they had those blow-up things and the children had to sign in, but ultimately the same thing. The children got online and they were given book bags with school supplies. So in 2015, my grandchildren were able to get two sets of book bags, and that's a good thing too because a lot of times those book bags can break. I guess the kids are so hard on them, and I've seen kids take the book bags and throw them down, you know. But it's getting hard out here to buy school supplies. I was in a restaurant recently, and I don't know how the subject of back to school came up, but the waitress told me she had spent $143 at one of the local office supply stores to get her children school supplies. So I said, well, $143, I said, for how many children? And she told me two. And to tell you the truth, that's pretty accurate, at least $70 per child minimum for school supplies. So last year we got lucky. This year, 2016, we were not able to take advantage of the free school supplies because we were not in town for one of the organizations. They have like a whole big community day. But we were not in town that day, and if we had stayed in town, we wouldn't have made it to a vacation that we were scheduled to take. And the other organization gave out the school supplies after my grandchildren had gone back home. So we weren't able to take advantage of the free supplies. However, when this summer rolled in, 2016, and again in July, Walmart, the dollar store, Office Max, and et cetera, they began putting up out the school supplies for sale. And my grandchildren were so smart this year that they actually sold lemonade, pink lemonade, and other items in order to purchase their school supplies. I'm just so proud of them because, to tell you the truth, here in Virginia, it's hotter than I don't know what. And we tried to schedule tours for them. I bought all the things that they sold. I bought the pink lemonade and the little crackers that they were selling, goldfish, and they wanted to sell candies and chips. And from time to time, of course, they did eat some of the items. But after going out three or four times each, they earned over $60 each because the neighbors were so kind and chipped in. I think the first time the kids went out, it was 4th of July weekend. And then I think they also went out during the week. And they did all right. But then I think they went out a couple of times on the weekends, maybe a Friday and a Saturday. And I think by this time the neighbors had seen them a couple of times. And you know how you say you see the kids selling either Girl Scout cookies or some other items, and you say, okay, next time I come by here, I'm going to have money. I just snapped my fingers. I'm going to have money so I can stop by and buy something from the kids. And I'm so thankful I have those types of neighbors. That's number one. And number two, I reciprocate. Because a high school kid came by selling breakfast tickets. I think they were $10 each, and I bought at least four of those tickets. I paid him $40 because the children from Deep Creek High School wanted to go to, I think, basketball, something similar to that. And then another child came by and sold me for $20 a little discount card. And to tell you the truth, I have to start trying to remember that I have that little discount card. But I knew I had to reciprocate and purchase things from the kids, too, who came by. So Grandma really didn't save this year. I guess I saved last year with the free supplies. But by the time I bought all the stuff that the kids were selling and helped them prepare it, and we prepared that pink lemonade fresh every time they went out. That pink lemonade went out fresh, and they had the cups, and we had the ice, and I taught my grands how to be sanitary about it. They used a glove, they put the ice in the cups and everything. And the neighbors just seemed to really admire them, and I let them know to make sure if someone asked them why were they selling lemonade, that they were selling lemonade to purchase their school supplies. And then how proud I was when I went with them to the store. Now, naturally, we're going to help them buy other things if they needed or whatever. But, yes, my young man that's going to the ninth grade, he, Amarion, he bought his own book bag and school supplies. But Amarion, he's tight. He was trying to wait for the free supplies until I told him, once I looked it up and discovered we weren't going to be around for the free activities. So he went on and spent his $60. And Amaya, who had earned quite a bit more, she bought school supplies and little school clothes and things to wear, which, of course, we bought them school clothes too. But I was just so proud to see them. And then Taz, he bought school supplies and a few toys with the money he earned. But they proudly sat out there in the hot sun, some days from noon to 4, some days from 4 to 7, and they would proudly go outside and wave to people or jump up out of their seats. And then my husband, he was so kind to give them an umbrella too, because they couldn't possibly have done it without an umbrella. Now, let me just say also, in 2015, all three of my grands sold lemonade, but we did it for a charity here in Virginia, the Children's Hospital, CHKD. They asked children to come and sell lemonade, and I learned the little lemonade process and how you can do it, the supplies you need, and ice and table and everything. But the money we earned last year from only going out, I think, 2 days, was $225, and approximately it was either $225, $223, but we turned it all in to CHKD. So in 2015, the children sold lemonade but could not keep any of the money. But this year, the children sold lemonade, and they were able to purchase their school supplies with the lemonade. So, like I said, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. The name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. And I'm going to tell you, I just come up with all sorts of financial topics to discuss. And I never would have thought that purchasing school supplies would be a financial fitness topic, but it is, especially in reference to buying school clothes. You know, just getting children prepared for back to school. Okay, they got to get their hair done. The boys have to get haircuts. Now, there are some organizations that are actually giving out free haircuts to the boys, and that really helps too, because you want your children to go back to school fit from head to toe. The children need physical examinations. Sometimes they need their eyes checked just in case they need eyeglasses. They need to see a dentist, get their teeth checked. Hopefully the children have gotten some rest over the summer, because to tell you the truth, going to school 10 months out of the year is rigorous. That getting up every morning and catching the school bus, in some cases at 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:30, 8 o'clock, it's not really that easy on children. And then nowadays, some children stay up kind of late. But I'm glad my kids had a really good summer. We had a lot of fun. We went to the amusement parks, Busch Gardens. They were on rides. We went to Water Country USA. We went to Virginia Beach. I think we went to Virginia Beach at least one time. And that day, Pop-Pop lost our ticket, our park parking ticket, and he had to pay the full amount for the parking. And I think we found the ticket the next day. I don't know what I do with it now. But so I think we went to Virginia Beach at least one time. We went to Dave and Buster's. We spent a week in Myrtle Beach, and that was a lot of fun. The place we stayed in Virginia, in Myrtle Beach, was kind of quaint. I called it beachcomber style because we didn't stay in a resort that looked like the Hilton. It was just very rustic, I'll just say. But they had a pool right outside our room. We could see the kids, but otherwise them. So whenever the children were in the pool, one of us was with them at all times, and the other one was still looking straight from the deck. But we had some summer between the lemonade sales and going to Busch Gardens. And my sister has a pool, so the kids actually enjoyed her pool one day, I believe. And we always end up taking a trip to the library. We spent time up in Williamsburg, and they got a chance to go in one of the buildings owned by William and Mary College or University. We spent some time in Delaware, and we hung out at a new store up there in Delaware called Five Below, where everything is $5 or below. And, of course, we bought some items out of Five Below. And I'm laughing because Taz, he knows exactly what he wants. He can really identify things that excite him when it comes to his toys. And not only that, in South Carolina, Taz, the youngest, and the middle child, which is a girl, Amaya, they both bought something called hermit crabs. Now, I think I had seen them in the springtime when we went to, we spent a week in Virginia Beach when they had spring break this year, 2016, but I had never really seen them in action. So long story short, in South Carolina, they were able to buy hermit crabs, the whole setup, the cage, palm trees to put in the cage, and they knew how to wash them. They went on YouTube and learned how to take care of them and everything, how to keep them alive, how to learn if one is dead. And if one dies, you'll know because they smell. Oh, my God. You can't even get rid of the odor once one of those things dies. But so that was really an exciting day. They spent a lot of time learning how to take care of something, take care of a critter or a piece of fish or shellfish. This past summer, when they acquired some hermit crabs in Myrtle Beach, and I'm sure they went back to school this year with a lot of tales about how much fun they had over the summer. Oh, and not only that, I almost forgot. I had a big birthday party on the Spirit of Norfolk Brooklyn. So at any rate, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. The name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. Today, sadly, is Sunday, September 11th, the 15th anniversary of 9/11. The year is 2016. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.